You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast. I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday. This is the Thursday show. I want to thank you for downloading us on the new Himalaya podcast app. If you haven't downloaded Himalaya, go ahead and do that. It is free, super easy to use. Every single podcast, every single Locked On podcast, and personally curated playlist made for you just by the Himalaya Expert Podcast Tastemakers. We're the Raining Jays. I am John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by the kid, Jay King. How you feeling, Jay?
I'm feeling great. Had a men's league game earlier. Finally got some buckets.
Finally. No dribbling out the clock?
This time. There was no shot clock because, like normal men's leagues and such, there was no shot clock.
You got roasted by Danny Ainge today. Like, Danny Ainge, so the whole show today is Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge talked about Kyrie, talked about lessons he and Brad Stevens have learned, talked about Horford and Hayward and his health. We'll talk about all of that in this podcast. But, like, Danny Ainge comes out of the door walking into this press area, and, like, the first thing he says when he sees Jay, he says, you didn't really dribble out the shot clock, did you? Like, immediately roasts you with it and then says you should have been fine.
It's true. I had no real response. He said Magic Johnson did it once, though. He was right.
Yeah.
You know, and Magic came back stronger, just like I was. It's not about what happens when you fall down. It's about how you bounce back to your feet.
Uh-huh. All I give a shit about is that the man who runs an NBA franchise, one of the most storied franchises in history, came out, and the first thing that he said to anybody was to roast you about dribbling out the shot clock. That's the best part for me.
It was a tough moment for the kid.
All of this show is sponsored by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, get rewarded. And also Grip 6 belts, ultra lightweight, no holes, no flap. It's a great Father's Day gift. Go to Grip6.com. That's the number 6. Grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E, for a special offer. Let's dive into this, Jay. First thing we want to talk about is Danny Ainge addressing the Kyrie Irving scenario. The whole thing started off with talking about his health. Well, we'll get into that later. There really wasn't a whole lot there. But to me, the one thing that stood out about his comments with Kyrie is how much confidence he seems to have lost. Like, in the beginning, he was kind of laughing off some of the talk. Like, not today, I mean early in the season. And then when all of that Ask Me July 1st stuff came up, Ainge was on the radio and he made the comment, the now infamous comment, about, well, we're still engaged. We still have the date set. The wedding date is still set. So he seems still confident in all of that. Today he was asked directly if the wedding was still on, and he said, well, I don't know, which is just a tiny bit less confident and just makes me think that the Celtics are a bit less confident about bringing him back.
Yeah, and the other important part of what Ainge said, I thought, was that he doesn't know if there's a roster change he can make that would make the Celtics more attractive to Kyrie. And why that's important, obviously, is because if you go after Anthony Davis, it could be contingent on whether Kyrie wants to come back. And if that would make him come back, you would definitely want to know by draft night when a trade with the Pelicans could presumably happen, or a trade agreement could presumably happen. It can't officially be that date because they can't have both Kyrie and Davis on the roster until July 1st. But so this is going to be just a complicated summer. And if they don't get any concrete indication from Kyrie what he's doing, it makes everything far more complicated. And obviously, he doesn't owe them that. He doesn't owe anybody that. He's a free agent. He can decide on his own timeline. He can take his meetings and see what happens. But from the Celtics' perspective, if they're operating in the dark while trying to go after Anthony Davis, maybe their plan is to go after Anthony Davis no matter what. But everything is just very, very complicated and very, very high stakes right now for them. And this is kind of the most uncertain summer. Like we've stressed it, but Ainge seemed to agree. Like, yeah, there's a lot of crap that could happen this summer.
Yeah.
A through Z.
Yeah. He said, usually the quote right here, we always talk about there's A through Z. Really, there's usually A through G or E. But this year there's definitely A to Z. So, there are any number of ways this can go. I've been saying all along that they draft night has to be the night because the Celtics have to make these picks, whatever picks are going to New Orleans. They have to make them for New Orleans. Maybe the Celtics can wait because if the only pick they're going to trade is the 14th pick in this year's draft, if most of it hinges on Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, or Jaylen Brown, and the Memphis pick, this dynamic changes now a little bit. Maybe they can make that 14th pick and say, or and 20 and 22, and say, do you want the rights to these guys, or do you want us to sign one of these guys and trade them? Maybe the urgency on draft night isn't necessarily as big as we thought. If the Memphis pick is the thing that's going to be the big selling point now.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's one thing if you're drafting high in the lottery and maybe you agree with every team, but by the time the Celtics pick 14, 20, 22, there will presumably be discrepancies in between front offices on who to pick. I don't know. It's just another set of complications for the Celtics as they enter this mad summer where Kyrie is kind of – he's in charge, and there's nothing they can do about it now but hope that he chooses them. And if he doesn't, then they've got a lot of other things to do. A lot of plans to come up with. It's crazy.
Danny Ainge said that when he was asked if he has gotten any sort of indication from Kyrie's camp that he wants out, he says, I have not received that indication. So he hasn't been told, according to him. And I don't think he would tell us either way at this point, but he says he hasn't been told that they want out. He also said, like you said, it's Kyrie can do what he wants. It's his choice to do what he wants. Sure, I'd like to have answers to all of your questions right now. That would be nice. Then I could relax even more, but it's a busy time of year, and there's a lot of unanswered questions with free agency and draft and all of the players on our roster. So still a bunch of uncertainty, and who knows how the Pelicans will play it. Who knows how Kyrie will play it. Kyrie could make his commitment, and who knows if the Pelicans will still want to throw that Supermax offer in front of Anthony Davis just so he has that contract in front of him and has to actually refuse to sign it, which, you know, that might just be a way for the Pelicans to ramp up the pressure. We'll see how that goes. Now, Danny Ainge also addressed his mistakes, things he didn't anticipate from last season, him and Brad Stevens. We'll relive that and see what he said when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Ainge directly asked today about lessons that he learned from this past year. He admitted that they underestimated how long the Gordon Hayward recovery would take. He admitted that they didn't anticipate that the players wouldn't have 100% buy-in. He admitted that he didn't expect for guys to still be uncertain about their roles later in the year. And that's a lesson for both him and for Brad Stevens. And I thought it was interesting that he talked about I asked him directly about the motivations that some of these guys have. And he independently, in a separate answer, talked about players are different now than they were 5, 10, 15 years ago. So what was your take, Jay, on Danny Ainge and the lessons that he says that he learned from this past season?
I think there are a lot of things he listed. One, he said, don't put all the blame on Kyrie, which I agree with. We've talked about that on the podcast for everything that Kyrie handled poorly this season. And there were a lot of things he handled poorly. There were 13 other guys plus a coaching staff in that locker room that also didn't handle things perfectly. So Kyrie, because he's Kyrie, took a lot of the blame. I agree with Ainge on this one. Kyrie, because of who he is, took a lot more of the criticism than he deserved, even though he did deserve certainly some criticism. One of the lessons Ainge pointed out was that he thought guys never bought in. And it's obvious, but when you hear, like, one of the owners went on the radio or TV earlier and said Celtics weren't a likable team. Then Danny Ainge is like, yeah, they never bought in. I didn't see that one coming. It's to the end, the 2018-19 Celtics were very open about where they fell short and very open about the issues that they had within the locker room. And you hear from everybody. So that was another lesson. Just a lot of lessons. It was a year full of lessons.
Yeah.
Ainge gave a vote of confidence for Brad Stevens too. Said there's no other coach he'd like more. So you kind of expect that from Ainge, but he was really, really strong with it and said he thinks Brad will grow a lot from this season, and that if every player worked as hard as Brad did to bounce back from this disappointment, then Ainge would be very thrilled. So it was nice, I guess, but now the Celtics actually have to come back better next year.
Right. And Brad Stevens talked about it on the after the loss to the Bucks. He's sitting there in Pfizer Forum talking about everybody in there is going to be better for having gone through this. Obviously, you don't want to have to go through this to learn these hard lessons. But I mean, this is nothing that we haven't said from the beginning of the year, that you had a bunch of guys who were of even talent, and that Hayward, because of where he was in the recovery from his injury, was maybe even a step below that to start the season. And a lot of guys were trying to jockey themselves for a position, and Ainge talked about it. Guys didn't know, like, who's going to finish the game, who's going to start every game, and Brad had to make these choices between a bunch of guys who deserved or felt like they deserved the opportunity to be in those situations. To, you know, talk about Terry Rozier, and Ainge spoke fairly glowingly about Rozier, but Rozier was one of the culprits. Tatum, other guys. Brown, actually, Ainge singled out Hayward and Brown for being able to, like, figure out, like, all right, this is going to be my new role. They took to the bench and all that stuff. But there were still questions about who would be in which role. And I think when he's talking about the lessons that he learned, it's that sometimes having a bunch of guys who are good on the team isn't always just necessarily a good thing. Because if everybody's equally good, it seems like, oh, wow, we've got all this depth. But NBA players crave, like, structure. These guys want to know, I am a fifth man. I am a sixth man. I'm your guy who's just going to set picks and rim run. I'm your lead scorer. Like, all of these things, they need them to kind of be set. And when it's very fluid throughout the season, it takes a certain special mix of guys to kind of go with that flow. And the Celtics this year, I think the guys were, a lot of these guys were too young, too early in their NBA careers to really take steps back and accept certain roles.
Nobody did. And that was probably the biggest issue all year. But it's tough. It's tough when you're young, and it's tough when you taste that stardom.
Sure.
And it's tough when you're Jaylen Brown, you're averaging 18 points in playoffs, and you have to come off the bench. Or you're Gordon Hayward, and you're not right. And we've talked about this a million times. Sure. But, so I don't want to get too much into it again. But I think from a team-building perspective, you know, I do think the importance of low-usage guys who are willing to play a role will be important from now on. And the Celtics didn't have enough of those guys. The guys who could have been those guys, for the most part, weren't interested in being that and bucked against it all year. So if the Celtics are in the business of trying to compete for a championship, it's hard to straddle between two lines. It's hard to straddle the asset line and the compete line at the same time. I don't know if it's impossible, but the way the Celtics were trying to do it, which was try to win the East with a team that had a chance, a real chance this year, at least at the beginning of the season before things fell apart, and keep the assets for Anthony Davis and for further trades. And that's just really tough to do because it does matter that other teams have veterans who are willing to sacrifice, and other teams have a bunch of role players that are old and experienced and don't care about personal glory. And so all that stuff mattered. And I'm sure Ainge knew it before. He said he thought it was going to be a difficult season coming into it. But from his perspective, like, that it was glaring this year that the Celtics could have used more guys willing to be like, you know what? I don't care about shots.
Right.
Don't care about minutes. Don't care about touches. Don't care about anything. Just give me wins. And there just weren't enough of those guys. They wanted to win on their own terms this year. And because of that, they never won.
That's it. That's what it boils down to. Winning on their own terms is something that we talked about for most of the season. And it's just a hard thing for maybe some people to grasp, but that's true. They wanted to win on their own terms. It's that they want to win, but you make the comparison. I make the comparison to that 2008 Celtics team where you had Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, and everybody was willing to sacrifice something because they'd already made their money. They were already megastars. They're already all going to be Hall of Famers at that point. So you just nothing left to prove. And all of these guys, when you're young, when you're Tatum and Brown and Rozier and all of these guys, not a knock on them. It's when you're 20, 21, 22, whatever, you haven't set that. You haven't created that legacy. And how much money you're going to make is important to you. Your brand is important to you.
Yeah, I don't like that comparison. And I know it's an obvious one because it's the Celtics. Those guys are just way better.
Yeah, but that's fine.
Kevin Garnett was much better than anyone on this Celtics team. Paul Pierce significantly better than anyone on the Celtics team. Like,
right, of
they
course,
were just better. They were more talented. Yeah, but I don't know. I think that was part of the Celtics problem too. When you look at teams that have won championships, you almost always have that top five type guy. And Kyrie was like close-ish for like half the season and then fell off that pace. And he's never been that type of guy before. So, and there's a wide gap between Kyrie, certainly as we saw in the second round, and the Giannis types and the Kawhi types. Mm-hmm. And the Celtics didn't have that guy. They did when it was Paul Pierce, when it was Kevin Garnett. But, and I think that too was one of the problems. One of the things Ainge said tonight that I thought stood out to me was that he thought they really overachieved 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I do think that's true. Like, they did overachieve. Their net rating that year wasn't great. Like, Kyrie was injured and Hayward was injured, and that's why the hype came, because they did go so far, but they beat a Bucks team that had no coach and supporting cast was suspect. And then they beat a Sixers team that wasn't even close to what the Sixers team was this year. And that Sixers team got booted in the second round. And then they lost to a crappy Cavs team that had LeBron. And then all that hype came because of that. And so this team from the start was overhyped. They were never as good as I think we thought they were going to be, me and you and most other people, but certainly never as good as they thought they were going to be. And there was a disconnect between the reality of what they were and what they thought they were all year long.
That's probably the best way to put it. So we'll leave it at that. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Some of the other few little things that were discussed at today's, I guess, State of the Celtics kind of press conference. We'll do that when we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Danny Ainge spoke for about 20 minutes. We covered a lot of topics. First thing, just get this out of the way. His health. He said that he feels great. He had the line of the night, which was he's eating a lot more plants, but not the type of plants that are growing in Walton's garden, which I think was a kind of funny line.
That was by far his best line of the night. Certainly much better than the one he used to take down the kid.
No. That was, I mean... That almost is separate because it was before the news conference, but which makes me wonder, did he have that thing in the chamber? But whatever. Still a good line.
Tough.
So he's feeling good. He's not taking a step back from his duties. Everything's fine. And he's just eating more plants. So good for him. The health is good. Also, health good for Gordon Hayward. Gordon Hayward, he says, is in the gym in Boston every day, practically with five or six coaches working hard. So, and he also said that he's very excited and optimistic about Gordon Hayward's future. And I've always been on the very optimistic side about Gordon Hayward. I did not take into account last year, before going into the season, just how much of a setback that second surgery was. Now he's got the summer. He's healthy. He can go get whatever confidence he needs is left to get back. He can get that back. So good to hear, Jay, that Hayward is out there and working and just doing full basketball things. And it's just a focus on getting better, getting his confidence back.
And if he's right, it changes a lot for the Celtics.
Yes.
It changes so much. If he goes from being, he was kind of a nothing in the Bucks series, mm-hmm. wasn't particularly bad, wasn't good, just was kind of out there.
Yeah,
he was just there. If he instead is an all-star type, that changes things. That changes things a lot. And it changes things whether Kyrie comes back or not. Having Gordon Hayward be Gordon Hayward will be a very, very big deal.
Yeah.
If it happens.
If it happens. I mean, if he can come back and be the Hayward that they signed or even something close to that, then that changes a significant amount because that picks up a lot of slack and he becomes a star player that you, and if Kyrie doesn't come back and you have Tatum and Brown and Hayward, I mean, that's a nice trio and hopefully Tatum, who it was announced or revealed on Wednesday that will be invited to the Team USA camp, going into the FIBA World Championship. So maybe he'll get that exposure and playing just even for a few days with Coach Pop, pick up a couple of things. That'll be a nice boost for him coming into the next season. And Jaylen Brown, who still I don't think gets enough credit for how he turned things around last season. The first 20 games are kind of painted the entire season for him, but he may have adapted to what the Celtics needed him to do best from last year's team. I think moving forward, if Hayward is right, that things might not be as bad as they seem if Kyrie doesn't return. The other thing, and this is key to all of this as well, that Danny Ainge mentioned was it is a priority for the Boston Celtics to restructure Al Horford's contract, which is it was asked as a restructure and is the easiest way to say it, but it's not really a restructure. Basically, Al Horford has a player option for $30 million. They would ask him to opt out and then re-sign with them for longer term, longer money than that he may be able to get otherwise on the open market. And I laid out three different possibilities for that, by the way. Shameless plug on masslive.com. So if you go to masslive.com/Celtics, I have three different scenarios. And I split it up, Jay. I did 5-year deal because that's what they can offer him. And I put the number at $90 million. Not that I expect it to be $90 million, but there's no way that Horford opts into $30 million and gets another $60 million out on the free agent market. So I just put that as a big number that the Celtics can build around over the course of five-year deal. And, you know, you either start it low and give them the 8% raises, or you start it high and kind of stagger it so he gets a balloon payment sort of in the middle, and then it tapers off as you expect his play to taper off. Or you front load it and you pay him like $22 million or $21 million in the first year and just slowly cut his salary as the years go on and as his production theoretically progresses. There's a bunch of different options that were laid out that the Celtics can go to Horford and say, we'll give you the years, we'll give you the money, more money than you could get otherwise. You want to stick around and help us out over the next few years, and then your final 2 years, you know, are sort of a reward for everything that you've done.
So, yeah, that all sounds good. That's all right. So, did you see on Instagram Jaylen Brown photographed in a gym with Carmelo Anthony?
No, I didn't see that. I did see that he was Carmelo at that gym in New York that all of the NBA players go to. I forget what gym it is, but I knew that he was in New York, so him. That's the one where Carmelo. Yeah.
This is going to be low hanging fruit.
Okay.
This is going to be low hanging fruit because I actually think Carmelo was very underrated during his prime. I think when he was with the Nuggets and when he was in his early years with the Knicks, when they smoked the Celtics in the playoffs, for example, he was damn good and so tough to stop. But these Celtics young dudes, they got to start learning from guys who will teach them to play smart basketball instead of teach them to play hero basketball. Like, just go spend a couple weeks with Fred VanVleet. go, you know, like go pick Shane Battier's brain for a little while.
Right.
Go.
Right. Don't hang out go with ask, Kobe.
Go
hang out.
Go
with
ask Carmelo. Robert Horry. You know, like go spend a week with Andre Iguodala.
I got you. I'm with you. I do not want him learning anything from Carmelo Anthony. I really don't. But, you know, these young guys, they look at guys like Carmelo. They idolize him. They think he was great. I mean, he was great. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, all this talk, like, is Carmelo a Hall of Famer? Like, I mean, obviously he was. I mean, in his prime and at his best, he was just a phenomenal scorer. So what he became, that sucks. It sucks to see it. And I know it's our most recent memory, but, like, I get why people love him so much, but, like, I'm with you. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Jaylen Brown with Carmelo Anthony. All right. We'll just leave it there and say thanks to everybody for listening. I hope you are downloading the show on the Himalaya podcast app. It's free. It's very easy to use. All of our podcasts are there, and you can create a playlist and share them. If you like certain podcasts that we do and you want to share them with your friends, go ahead, customize it like a playlist for songs and share it through social, text, email. You can like and comment, give thumbs up and comment on individual episodes. Do all of that. And if you are a regular subscriber, you can do it there, or you can do it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is, and share the podcast with your friends. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah. Corrales, Packard, and J. King.